Here we are still in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Can you believe it? Yes, yes. Believe it. God has a lot to say about love. God has done a lot about love. And I hope that as we have gone through this, that you're not only learning about love, but you're learning a bit about who God is. And so as you're turning there to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, today we'll read again verses 4 through, this time we'll go through 8. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Brothers and sisters, love never fails. I'm not going to get into the Greek on this one, because it's simply what it means. Love does not ever, will not ever, cannot ever fall from the estate of being love. Love does not fail. Love never fails. Love does not ever stop being love. Love is never lovely. Never not lovely. Sorry about that. Love, just seeing if you were listening, and apparently I was not. We live in a world that has views of love, but it's truly only from a self-centered ideology. The world says that it is okay to give love and to take it back. You can just give it and take it back if it doesn't work out. The world says it's okay to take love and never give it back. The world says you can even murder for love. You see, the world redefines the word love and then accuses God of being unloving. The world does not know the meaning of the word because the world does not know God. God is love. 1 John 4, 7 through 9. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loves not knows not God, for God is love. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. God is loving. He's so loving that he gave his only Son to be the propitiation for our sins. He is the one who lived in a sinful world without sinning. And freely, by his grace, he provides salvation to his elect. God showed his love for us. He displayed it. He made it manifest for all to see and now for all to hear. God did not have a wrestling match to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. He didn't say, okay, I choose you. Let's meet out back after school and let's fight about it. How did God overcome the world? How did God overcome sin? How does God overcome the devil? What is his plan rather than by love? God heaped the greatest amount of love that the world has ever seen or will see upon the earth through Jesus Christ. So much love that the world wouldn't even recognize it as true love, again, because the world does not know the meaning of the word. So much love that sin would have no answer, because sin cannot pass from life through death to life eternal. So much love that the devil cannot be able to condemn and steal away those whom the Father has given to Jesus. Brothers and sisters, do you think that intergalactic battles on moons and planets are spectacular on the big screen? If you do, you should take a look at the cosmic battle that Jesus is having with the most powerful enemies the world will ever know, the most powerful forces of darkness in existence. Jesus dealt a huge blow some 2,000 years ago, and he will not stop blow by blow until his last enemy, death, is conquered. There is no fiction or allegorical story that can match the full wonder and the miracle and the might and the power and the excitement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The exhortation from this passage, brothers and sisters, is that true love cannot fail. True love is from God. God is love. God is eternal. God is sovereign. He is the powerful King, the powerful King. He is ruling and he cannot fail. Therefore, love cannot fail. His love cannot and will not fail. Our love, brothers and sisters, should not be fickle. Our love should not be fickle. We should liberally share the love of God as it has been shared with us with liberality. God loved us first, 1 John 4:19. God loved us first. Remember this. And 1 John 4:11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. It is only from the love of God, brothers and sisters, that we can truly love one another. It is only from the love of God that we can provide an adequate definition of what love is and how we ought to love one another. And the Word brings this out. And we have discussed it for several months now. With people, we do not take love. With people, we do not take love. We give love. We go to our children and we say, give me a kiss, right? Give daddy a kiss, right? And the little girl, right? That's taking love. We're trying to swoop in and take some love, aren't we? We give love. We don't say, come on, hug me. We say, can I hug you? We give love. As God gives it to us. We don't take love. We have an unending supply of love. It is not something we give and then are found lacking, like money. When we give money, we can see that our account goes down. When we give love, that is not so. Again, because God is love, God is eternal. The supply of love is eternal. It cannot fail. It cannot fail. It will never fall short. Our love also should be loyal. All things will fail. All things will fail, brothers and sisters, except one. All things will fail except one. Things in the future will change. Laws will change. All kinds of things will change. Your relationships with people could change. But there's one thing that won't change. Your citizenship on earth could change. You could become a part of another country, or we could all become citizens of the one world order. But there's one citizenship that will never change, ever. That citizenship could change. Philippians 3:20. Its love is through thick and thin, through sickness and health. And even through rebellion, love stands, never fails, even through rebellion. And how do we know this? Well, we read it in 1 John 4, but also in Romans 5:8. For God demonstrated his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. So even through rebellion, love stands firm. It does not change. It's steady. Steady she goes in. It's not changing. It's not driven by the wind or every imagination. It's not driven by your emotions and how you feel about something at any given time. Because love is supplied by God and God is not changing. And so, brothers and sisters, God's love will never fail. And I ask you right now, how does that make you feel? What is the emotion that comes from that statement? What emotion wants to leap out? Does it want to leap out? Or do you want to suppress that truth? I hope it wants to leap out. I hope you believe. I hope you believe that the love of God is sufficient. Are you receiving and responding to His love? And some of you might say, I'm doubting, or I'm hopeless, or I don't have any hope in this relationship or that. But since love is greater, do you have love? You might not have much hope, but do you have love? You might lack in faith, but do you have love? Read the end of the chapter. The greatest of these is love. Do you have love? Do you know love? Do you know what love is? Do you know the love of God? Have you experienced the love of God? Like the sinner who was forgiven much, loves much. Do you realize how much you've been forgiven? He who's forgiven much, loves much. And so maybe we need to focus more on the love of God. And how much He has forgiven you will certainly help with this. If you lack in hope, we may need to spend more time meditating on God's love. If you have not hope, it may be because you are letting the world define what love is. Brothers and sisters, let us focus on His love, not on her love. Not on her love, not on His love with a small h, but on our King's love. Amen. Let us focus on His love. And it will stir a great hope within you. It will stir a great faith. It will arouse great courage in you. But family, we must focus on the right love. And we must not let the world define what love is for us. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess to you that we often buy into what the world says love is. And Father, some of us who are more accustomed to the milk of the word and not the meat of the word, Father, we waver in this. And some of us who are accustomed to the meat of the word, sometimes we are puffed up with knowledge. And we turn again to loving ourselves and back to the world's definition of love. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand your love. I pray, God, that we would focus more upon what great a love you have given to us, and that while we were yet sinners, and how much sin you have forgiven. Can we even comprehend it? Father, we have not arrived to any place where we are just okay. But Father, the more mature we become in the meat of the word, the more we realize how much sin we have. Sure, we sin less and you are sanctifying and cleansing us. But Father, we realize how great a chasm that separates us between God. And without Jesus Christ, that chasm cannot be crossed. It cannot be bridged. And so, Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for His love. And Father, we pray that we would be more faithful to remember His love. And Father, we pray that you would help us to love you as you have loved us first. Father, we know that your love is not failing. Yet, oftentimes our love is failing. Our love is fickle. Our love is not loyal. Our love goes here, it goes there, it goes anywhere that our will takes us. And Father, I pray that you would help us, that we would receive the love of God, and that we would give it freely, that we would think upon it, that we would meditate upon it, that we would know your word, that we would read your word in the context of your love, that we would receive an exhortation from a brother or sister in the context of your love for us, that we would receive your chastisement, your discipline, and even trials that would come, we would receive that as your love for us. God, we can cry out and say, things are very difficult and I don't feel very good, but God, I know that you love me and you are working all things together for the good. Lord, you are working to perfect faith. I pray, O God, that you would give us this vision, that we would cling to your word and what is true, and that we would quit looking at ourselves in the mirror and then turning around and straightway forgetting who we are in Jesus Christ by his adoption. Father, we pray that you would give us more faith. Lord, we confess to you that we do not love you as we ought. We do not love you as you have loved us. And Lord, we confess this to you and we ask you, O God, that you would cleanse us, that you would renew us, and that you would renew a right spirit within us. And Father, now we take a moment to confess our own sins to you.